Hi, and welcome back to the MIP podcast, the Male Infertility Podcast. I'm your host, Nick, and welcome back. So, since the last episode, I've had another person contact me on Instagram. Thank you very much to Jay. I appreciate the fact that you've listened to the podcast. As someone who's, in the same boat as me, I just want to say, keep going, keep trying. I mean, we're all in this together. We really are. And I really appreciate the fact that you reached out to me. And hopefully you appreciate having a cheeky little shout out on the podcast as well. So thanks for that. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to talk about a few things today. So I'm going to carry on with my micro tease anyway, and the journey that we've been on, and then give you a little update of where we are now, because we've had another consultation. So I'm going to tell you a bit about that. And then I want to talk about the mental state of things as well. Mental state for you and where you are in this process and how it can really affect you. And ways that you can help yourself by finding things to do to take your mind off things. And then right at the end, I just want to talk about a few of the people that I found on Instagram as well and just have a little chat about them. So, okay, we will go into it again. So the micro tease. The micro tease for me happened in early April. And the day before, we traveled down to London. So from 10 p.m. the day before, I couldn't eat any food or have any drink because of the surgery in the morning. So we stayed in a hotel close by. We'd previously stayed at the hospital. There was a few really small rooms, like we're talking literally just a bed. There was a shared toilet or whatever. So the second time we went and got a hotel very close by, it was literally 5 minute walk. So we went down there, I think it was like 7 a.m. I want to say. So we went down to the hospital and checked in. There was a load of other people there at the same time and we all went up together. Everyone was probably having similar operations or something like that anyway. So anyway, I think I didn't have to wait too long. I spoke to a German surgeon who reassured me of a few bits and bobs. He did mention at one point that after the surgery, it could potentially affect your testosterone down the line. I don't think he meant like straight away. I think maybe like in the future. I think I made a Viagra joke about it, but as you do. And the way I deal with things is a bit of comedy, a bit of humor. I mean, you can if you take things too heavily, it could really weigh on you. So for me, it's a way of expressing myself, and hopefully people don't find me, find it offensive or whatever. I'm literally just find it funny personally, and just deal with it that way. So anyway, so we did it. We spoke to the guy, then went into the pre-op bit where I spoke to a nurse. Did all the checks, height, weight, and so on, put on the gown. And then they wheeled me in there. I remember speaking to the anaesthetist. And then next thing you know, lights out. I think I was in there for about an hour and a half. And when I woke up, I was in a ward. There was only a few beds in there. And obviously, I was by myself. The wife was still in the waiting room. Then they obviously told her that I was awake. And to be fair, they told me the results, which was the fact that they didn't find anything, unfortunately. They told me by myself. And to be fair, the wife came very like quickly afterwards. But at the same time, I kind of wish that she'd been there as well, just so we'd been able to hear the news together. It wasn't good news, but you just having each other there at that time, it probably helps. But maybe she wasn't allowed in the ward, I don't know. So they told me by myself. And then we went and, it was pretty sore, put it that way. We ended up going straight back to Leicester on the train. Yeah, anyone who's had the micro-tease knows that it's a bit sore down there, a little bit swollen. And I think I ended up having 2 weeks. 2 weeks till I really recovered. While saying that, even when I went back to work, it was still, I was walking like John Wayne. You know what I mean? Like I'd been riding a horse all the time. And I think that lasted for, I want to say, another week and a half. But I could get through it. Obviously, it was painful. And ended up finding out that I was allergic to iodine as well. Because they obviously put that around to keep it clean, I guess. And but like, it didn't affect me too much. It was a little bit of a rash or whatever, but it wasn't too bad. But anyway, we got through it. And obviously, like I say, it wasn't the results we wanted. And then we ended up speaking to the German surgeon again. I think it was a week later. And obviously, we went through it all about telling me what they did, and they couldn't find anything inside. So they took some samples away and they couldn't find anything there either. So at the end of the day, it was end game for me. Yeah. And then we had a little discussion about where we were going to go from here. Obviously, me and the wife had spoken previously about going down the donor route and the IUIs and the insemination or the IVF. And obviously, like I've told you in the last one, due to our update, we are now going straight to the IVF route. So we've done that. We've been for our first consultation last week. Everything went as smoothly as it can do. So when speaking to her, we went through all this massive pack of paper, which we're not allowed to sign or anything yet till we speak to the consultant. So we've got that in just, what date is it today? Just under a month now anyway. But between now and then, we've got to have two rounds of counselling with the counsellor at the fertility clinic in Leicester. Hopefully that will go fine. I mean, we know what we're getting into. Obviously, things were explained to us about the injections that the wife will be having and so on. And we are prepared for it. I mean, obviously, the closer it gets to it all happening, the more stressed I think. I don't think I'll be, but I think maybe the wife will be. So it'll be up to me to support her and try to keep her calm, really. Because obviously, for me now, my role is the support role. And it would be for other men going through this same thing, same journey with their partner, of hopefully we'll be bringing up the baby when it's there. But up to that point, I mean, we've got to do as much as we can. You know what I mean? It's a two-player game. You know what I mean? We've both got a controller there. And we can only do it together. So yeah, we're going to support each other, do the injections, try and keep her cool, keep her calm. And then they went through a few bits and bobs, talking about a few technical bits, which, like I say, when it comes to the technical bits, I'm not really spot on with these things, I'll be honest. I'm more of a experienced man, more of a, you know, support and all that, like I say. So they were talking about follicles anyway, some have to have 5 follicles and all this jazz. And to be fair, maybe it's something I need to swat up on just so I can support her even more. So maybe I'll look into that. And we'll go down that route. And then hopefully anyway, fingers crossed, everything crossed, we'll be able to start the journey in, I don't know, November, December, January, depending on when it will be, sort of thing. So obviously I'll keep everybody up to date with our journey and so on. And hopefully everybody else will be going through the process as well. And hopefully good things will be happening for you too. I mean, I can only hope. So that's the end of the update. So now, just a warning, this probably will be a fairly long episode. So it'll keep you going for a while. So the next thing I want to talk to is the mental state, especially from our side, the male side of things, because it can knock you for 6. You get told that you can't father a child naturally. It's very hard to take. I mean, I spoke about it in the other episodes where it feels like the thing that you've been placed on the earth for, you can't do. Yes, that is true. But it down the line, when the baby does come, hopefully, touch wood, that you'll bring the baby up anyway. But mentally, for you personally, it is difficult. I mean, all you've probably ever wanted is to grow your family, extend your family. You know what I mean? You might have brothers and sisters who have children and so on, or cousins, and they, like, your family's massive or so on like that. And you want to do the same. Obviously, you're with a partner and you want to bring up babies, and but you can't. And there's nothing you can actually do to help, to change it physically like that. Hopefully, obviously, if you do have a microtease and they do find sperm in there, then hopefully they can use that and use it in the IVF process. But I mean, it can be difficult. I'm sure there's big guys out there, big burly guys who are like real men, who like it could be affected. It could send you into depression, and depression obviously is one of those things at the moment that people are trying to bring more awareness about, and which is a good thing. I mean, for me, it didn't really affect me that much in a negative way. I can't really explain easily why. I think it literally depends on your mental state, because I pride myself on being quite mentally strong anyway. And you take things on the chin. Like, I think how things affect you in your journey up to the point where you find out that you may not be able to father a child, like you may have azoospermia, affects how you are. You know what I mean? Like, I lost my dad when I was only 4 years old. I've lost nearly all my grandparents. I've just got my nan. I mean, all those hard times when I was a kid has probably made me a bit tougher. And maybe other people have had the same thing. I'm sure they have. And the other thing to do is to talk about it. I mean, talk to it with your partner. Or if you're not comfortable with doing that, talk to a friend. You might have your best mate, you can speak to him, or you've got a group of mates that you speak to. Obviously, some of them might not really understand anything, really. They might be like just confused by it all, really. But there's going to be someone who's going to want to listen, whether it is your mates or a group of mates, or your partner, or it could be someone completely random. Maybe you could go to counseling. Maybe you could speak to people online who are, like, search them out and talk to them. There's always someone to talk to. And I think the only thing is, it's you holding yourself back because you're worried about how people will perceive you and think that they're going to judge you. That's probably one of the biggest things. It's how someone's going to judge you. They'll be like, oh, God, he can't have kids. Blah, 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 or you worry about what happens down the line, like, oh, if you have IVF or whatever, then you get the horrible comments that people used to say back in the day, like, oh, like test tube baby, things like that. But at the end of the day, if you want a baby, you're going to have it how you want it. It doesn't matter what other people think if it's negative. If people are negative, cut them out your life. You don't need them. You need people that are going to help you, support you, listen to you, and maybe give you, sometimes the advice they're going to give you isn't the advice that you want to hear, but you've got to be willing to open up, but to listen to their opinions on it as well. Hopefully this discussion's helped. And like I said, there are people out there who will listen. I'll talk about some of them. Some people that I've found anyway. I've not spoken to them yet, but I have found them on Instagram, and the wife listens to some podcasts and stuff. But I'll talk to that just at the end. But I just want to move on to things that you can do to take your mind off things. I mean, for me, obviously I do voiceover as well as the day job of being a chef. I didn't do my voiceover. So that's an outlet for me. I like to play computer games as well. So I'll play on the PC, I'll play on the Xbox. Anything to take your mind off things, just to I don't know. You could go for a walk. I don't know. You could take the dog for a walk. You could, I don't know, play music. I'm sure there's some musicians out there who love play music. Football, or for the American listeners, soccer. Or, I don't know, American football, baseball, cricket, rugby, anything to take your mind off things. For my wife, anyway, she's started doing running. Or well, I say she started doing running. She started about 2 years ago, to be fair. But she finds, and she said to me, she finds that going for a run 2-3 times a week, it helps her relax, puts her in a good state. Yeah, she comes back and she's tired and so on, but her head's clear, gives her time to think, listen to her tunes, and just relax, you know. So have a think about it. If it is really getting you down, talk to someone. Find something to do to take your mind off things. And just be prepared to open up. So there we go. There's my 2 cents anyway. So, okay. So now I'm going to move on to the, about Instagram, really. So Instagram and a few podcasts that the wife listens to and I have been introduced to as well. So one of them is the Half of Me podcast. Then there's another one called Big Fat Negative. I know that the wife listens to both of those. And there are many others. So there's also a book out there called Three Makes Baby, How to Parent Your Donor-Conceived Child by Jana M. Rupnow, LPC. It's on Amazon, and I think it's just in paperback format, I believe, and maybe Kindle. Yes, Kindle as well. So I don't think there's an audiobook version, but maybe there will be one day. And then I've known that from a male perspective anyway, there's a Instagram account called Pursuing Fatherhood. And I think I've just added him on Instagram. And the wife has told me about his journey. He's been on one of the other podcasts. I think it was the Half of Me podcast. I'm sure that if you look that up, I'm sure you'll be able to find the episode with him and how he talks about everything. So I think that'll wrap things up for this episode. I just want to thank you for listening. This is going to be a longer episode. And, well, if anybody wants to contact me, the usual places, it's Nick Denton VA on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You could email me as well at nickdentonva@outlook.com. Don't be afraid to speak out, to speak to people. I'm here. There's other people on Instagram. I'm sure they'll listen. And the more we talk about it, the better it will be for everyone. So I want to wish everybody luck who's going through this journey as well. I wish you the very, very best. And obviously on the next episode, hopefully there'll be an update, maybe or maybe not. And I'll talk about a different subject regarding this whole process anyway. So thanks again for listening. This is the MIP signing off.